Welcome to Lakes Entrance Baptist Church online. We're glad that you've joined with us today.
Whether it's morning, afternoon or evening, it's good to be able to meet in this way. And we just happen to be down walking on a trail near Lake Bunga. And it's one of the places that sometimes we ride bikes. And
yeah, we go walking.
Yep. Yeah. And it's just a lovely spot we thought we'd share with you. Having been down here, well, come and visit and enjoy. And we just pray you'll be blessed today as we have so much to be thankful for.
Good morning. Today's reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because those who have suffered in their bodies are done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their recklessness, wild living, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you speak, you should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with the strength of God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Gary, for reading from 1 Peter chapter 4. And I just want to say up front, if you were to be sitting with the Word of God and reflecting on this over and over, as I pray you do, then I am sure that you would get so much more out of it than I'll be able to share with you in just a few minutes. This is, to me, probably the culmination of the letter. And it's charting a way ahead on a trail that perhaps few people are willing to walk. And I've titled this Gratification or Grace, because I think Peter's getting to the real crux of what it is as a person who himself was a follower of Jesus. And as one who Jesus said in following him, he would be called to feed others and to tend to the flock of God. And so we as his people, people that God has gone to the extraordinary lengths of calling to be his very own, of Jesus, the righteous one, coming and bearing the sin of us, the unrighteous, to bring us to him, is just an amazing thing. And it leads us on a path that perhaps many of us didn't really know what that would amount to, didn't know what things God would open up to us, and didn't know the full extent of what it would mean to be this people together. It makes me think about the restrictions that we have faced and are still facing, and the questions that arise from that as to, well, how do we function as a family? How do we function as a church? How do we function as a community with the uncertainty of how long these restrictions will last and how this COVID-19 is going to be affecting our society at large? Well, it might come as a surprise to us and we might have a high level of uncertainty, but it's not a surprise to God. And I believe that the church has faced times of great difficulty in the past and we are not immune from that. In fact, it says here, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude. And I pray that we are well armed. And in fact, that we have come to a point in our lives where we would actually rather the will of God. And that's what it says here in verse 2. You know, we don't need to spend any more time living just according to our sinful nature, which just wants to gratify itself impossibly. But we want to be a people who actually live according to the will of God. Now, it would be a tragedy for us to take this passage, which Gary just read to us, and that you've, I hope, got open in front of you, and just turn it into a bunch of rules and regulations, because I think that's sometimes the inclination of our hearts. Just, oh, well, if I do this, And if I don't do that, then I will be okay. Or if I try and do the good things, and if I try not to do the bad things, well, you know, that will be okay. I will be okay with God. The gospel is so much more than that. And it's a tragedy to reduce the gospel down to just a bunch of rules. Paul, however, does speak to society then and society now when he says, well, you know, in reality, there is a culture of gratification that you can be just drawn into. And there's also a culture of grace, or a community of grace, that you also can be part of, which Jesus makes possible for you to be part of. And I believe that's where the church has its opportunity of being that people, that community of grace in this day and age that the world desperately needs to see. It's pretty obvious, and many of us would say, well, the list that Peter puts here of things that that draw people down a path of sin are pretty gross. It's kind of out of control. It's indecent. It's just full of pretty disgusting behavior, and it's detestable. Any clear-minded person would think about it and think you can't live like that. And people try, and it doesn't work for them. And I would ask you just to ponder that, because you might think, well, I don't do that sort of thing. But let me tell you, when you turn your television on, or when you sit at your computer screen, you will be often warned, you know, this program contains, coarse language or sexual references or drug use or whatever, or supernatural themes. And really, Paul's actually warning against being drawn into that, because a culture of gratification, or a community of gratification, will welcome you into all that stuff. And our sinful nature will be easily drawn into that, unless we have something better going on in our lives. And people do think it's strange that you don't join with them. And when they start, maybe tell a bit of a coarse joke or whatever, people think it's strange that you don't kind of share in that and kind of laugh along, or share one as well. And so, you know, the Word of God has proved right that that we are invited into that kind of culture, or into that kind of community. And people do seek to find community in sin. They find community in all sorts of things. But Christ wants us to step into community with Him as our Lord, our Captain, our King, our friend, our leader, and for us to follow Him into a different kind of community. He wants us to be able to think clearly about that. And so I love this verse 7, where it just says, you know, the end of all things is near. Peter wrote that a long time ago. We kind of think, wow, geez, what's going on around? Is this a sign of the end times? Well, yes, it is a sign of the end times. The end of all things is near. So don't get too carried away about trying to predict how that will be. But it says, therefore, be clear-minded. You know, have a new kind of clarity in your life. The end of all things is near. Be clear-minded, you know, and be self-controlled in how you think, so that you can pray. You know, if we're not clear about what we're about, and if we're not willing to have a level of self-control, now it hinders the way we pray. You know, when we're being drawn back into that community of gratification, it makes it hard for us actually to just be able to pray when we have such a tremendous privilege and opportunity. I'd like to say, with us gathering to pray, I can't help but invite you to do that, because, you know, whenever I meet with my brothers and sisters to pray, I always go away different to how I came. I come away feeling refreshed. I may have come to a prayer meeting or a prayer fellowship gathering, and I might feel tired, I might not feel like it, but I come away different, because it's been good to connect. And it's been good to be with brothers and sisters who are led together by the Holy Spirit in how they should pray. Best place to learn to pray is with people who can encourage you in that. So I would say, according to the scripture and according to what Peter is outlining here about this community of grace, that we bear people whose lives know the privilege of prayer, and know the privilege of not only personal prayer, but prayer fellowship together. It goes on to say, above all, love each other deeply. Now, this is the second time that that Peter has used this phrase about loving each other or loving one another deeply. He says love covers a multitude of sins, and it does. You know, if we choose to love somebody with the love that God has poured into our lives, then we know what to do when someone disappoints us, hurts us, we misunderstand, or they neglect to do something that was important to us, whatever it might be. Any number of things will happen when you live in community. If you live for yourself and live by yourself, well, yeah, you'll make yourself immune from that kind of thing, but you'll be poor and alone. We're not made for that. Love one another deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. This is the unique thing about a community of grace. This is part of what the world needs to see. Jesus said, the world's going to know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Love one another as I have loved you. That's a call on our lives. He goes on to say that we need to have a level of generosity and an awareness of the needs of others, because it says offer hospitality. Now that means a little bit more than just inviting somebody around for a cup of tea or a meal. It means having a generous heart. It means being glad to be able to share what you've got with somebody else in a variety of ways. And that's another part of what is a reality in a community of grace. And I pray that as we face this pandemic and as we face the uncertainty of when we can meet together again, we'll be finding creative ways and ways that fit within the restrictions of being hospitable, being generous, being thoughtful in things that can be offered one to another. Each one of us should use whatever gift he has received, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. One of the things we're missing as we are not able to be together is the blessing of gifts that God has given to you and to me and to one another. And so that, you know, we're not seeing that as frequently and as easily. But I wonder if there are ways that we can, as a community of grace, appreciate and trade on and be more complete because of the different gifts that God has given us. Because no matter what the gift is that he's given you, he wants you to be one who administers his grace, one who's a good steward of his grace, so that his grace is shown to other people in various ways. And, you know, some of the fire recovery work is a way of showing God's grace to people. You know, some of the responses with emergency food is a way of showing God's grace to people. Just making a phone call and checking in and seeing how someone's traveling is a way of showing God's grace to somebody. They don't even have to be part of the church for you to do that, and you're showing God's grace. How exciting it is to have the grace of God, which has been lavished on us, and we have no short supply of God's grace. And that's a wonderful thing, amazing thing, that he would then say, I want you to be one who administers my grace to others. And I just want to ask the question, is it likely that you could wake up tomorrow morning and think, well, Lord, I wonder who it is that maybe I could administer some of your grace to? And just step into the day looking for opportunity and saying, Lord, could you just cause your grace to so flow into my life that it would flow right back out again and touch the life of somebody else? These are some of the defining factors of a community of grace, which is so different to a community of gratification. If any one of you speaks, well, hey, I'm speaking now, but it's not just about preaching. If any one of you speaks, you should do so as if speaking the very words of God. Now, that puts a fair onus on preachers, but it puts a fair onus on the whole lot of us. Our words, once they've gone out of our mouths, we can't take them back. And, you know, in the context of our families, where our families know us well, sometimes our words can be marked with impatience or with little barbs of disapproval, or... And we can say things that hurt and injure one another. We need to think again, because the work of the Spirit is such in our life and the work of God's grace is such in our lives that our words can be altogether different. We can speak the very words of God into one another's lives. We can speak words of encouragement, words of blessing, words that comfort, words of truth, words of exhortation. We can speak the very word of God into the life. We need the word of God dwelling in our hearts richly for it to be able to flow out of our lives into the lives of others. And you know, if we serve in no matter what way we serve, it doesn't have to be on the roster to do with kind of monthly church activities. It can be 24/7, no matter what we do in how we serve, we should do it with the strength that God provides. And so I would ask you to consider, well, what are the things that I say? How do I speak? How am I serving? What am I spending the rest of my life doing? Am I doing it to fit in with the will of God, or am I doing it just to serve myself? God has called us into better than that. God has called us into this community of grace so that His manifold wisdom, His mercy, His kindness, His compassion, His love, the good news of what has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, of a people that can be forgiven, a people that can be free, a people that can step into life with hope and joy and thankfulness, that can be what it just shows up in a community of grace, and not just in the life of one or two, a few leaders, but in the lives of all God's people. And he says that in this, so that in all things God may be praised through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wonder whether that's the kind of community that I believe that's the kind of community the world needs to see. And that's not a Sunday morning thing. That's a Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday opportunity for us, even in COVID-19. Well, how can this be? Because we serve the one who has authority. We serve the one who is glorious. We serve the one who is powerful. To him be glory and power forever and ever. It's not about me getting the brownie points. It's not about you getting the kudos. It's about giving the credit to Jesus. All praise and all glory, all power belong to him forever and ever. So may it be that in this community of grace that you have been welcomed into, may there be a tone of grace. May there be God's grace administered in various ways so that the lives of other people can be touched by the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came full of grace and truth. May God bless you as you ponder these things. May you know that it is He that holds you fast and He that will lead you into being an integral part of this community of grace. May God bless you. Now, Father, we have so much to be thankful for. We are grateful that you would hold us fast, Lord Jesus. We are thankful for your great grace to us. We thank you, Lord, for, Lord, all creation about us which declares your greatness. Lord, we thank you that you would call us to be your church, a community of grace that is there for the display of your splendor and glory. We pray that, Lord, our lives would reflect and we would administer your grace to others in its various forms. Father, we pray that we might be ones who would recognize that you, as the God of all grace, have called us to your eternal purposes and glory in Christ. And even though we may have suffered a little while, you yourself, O Lord, will restore us and make us strong and firm and steadfast. To you, O Lord, be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.